This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
AgriTalk is brought to you by the Agricultural Research Council. Excellence in research and development.
It is 25 minutes to 12. Let's turn our attention to AgriTalk this morning. I will be joined on the line by Dr. Cynthia Modzi, Senior Manager, Intellectual Property Management and Commercialization at the Agricultural Research Council, and Dr. Yolisa Pagela, who is Senior Manager, Research at the Tropical and Subtropical Crops Research Campus. Now, that campus, of course, provides sustainable and appropriate technologies for production and post-harvest handling of citrus and subtropical crops in order to enhance food security and nutrition, global competitiveness, as well as wealth creation by addressing national priorities through its research agenda and related activities. So we are going to be learning about that. What is it that they do? Why is intellectual property important in the space? And perhaps what happens if I, as an ordinary person, attempt to do something and then I actually realize it works? How do I protect it? How do I ensure that it's not misappropriated? And we'll just talk about all of those things, and you can be part of the conversation on 0861-987-000 this morning, and you can tweet me at Lukona Mguni, hashtag Power Talk. Let me just welcome my guest, Dr. Pagela. Good morning.
Good morning, Lukon.
Thank you for making time. Dr. Modzi, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lukona.
Let's probably start off with you, Dr. Pagela, and just take us through what is it that the Tropical and Subtropical Crops Research Campus does, and how does it affect me as a typical South African who might never have heard of it before?
Well, the campus on tropical and subtropical crops mainly focuses on breeding of new or improved varieties of these crops, pest and disease management, as well as production systems for efficiency. So these crops include things like citrus, mango, papaya, avocados and bananas, things that are mostly grown in Mpumalanga, Limpopo, in those areas.
Ay, bananas, I will protest and say, KZN.
Yes, KZN
because of just, I am a resident there. I'm like, why are we being left out of this bus?
Yes.
But take us through the work that happens, especially in terms of the breeding. What are the type of facilities that you have? And really, what are you trying to answer with some of your research projects in the breeding space?
So the breeding programs are mainly it's a research that is in line with the changing climate, for example, to circumvent some of the issues. There could be an issue about a certain disease that becomes more prevalent with increasing temperatures, for example. So the breeding program will try to breed a cultivar that is resistant or heat tolerant and resistant to a particular disease. The programs usually take long, 10, 15 years, because this is a natural breeding. It's not something that is enhanced. So the programs are usually very long, but at the end, the product is able to be marketable and is able to be suitable for that particular circumstance when you deal with climate change.
I mean, talking about how long it takes, Dr. Pagela, you remind me how at times we would think, you know, scientists and people in that space, in botany, might not be going to work because you ask them, what are you working on? Say, well, I'm still working on this cultivar. Say, but you've been working on it for the last 3 years. What work do you do? I suppose, though, it's actually exciting when you see some good results coming out. How do you make sure that, you know, in your campus, you are able to cater for the different, you know, spaces? I mean, as much as you can find avos in Limpopo, you can find them in KwaZulu-Natal, but the climatic conditions are a tad bit different. So how do you cater for that variation in climate in your campus as you do this work?
Well, during the breeding program, there is an evaluation process where the cultivar you are, or the lines that you have produced, now you evaluate them in different climatic zones to see where does it thrive the most. So we will put, we'll grow these trees at these different climatic zones and then be able to say that, okay, these particular conditions suit this particular cultivar the most, and it grows to a certain size, which is a marketable size or something like that.
Absolutely. I mean, let me bring you in, Dr. Cynthia Modzi. This research, as it happens, of course, I'm sure you are sitting on your side waiting and seeing what is it that we are going to crack, and, you know, what new information will we have? What new cultivars will we have? And then how do we make sure that, you know, we protect this new research? And that's why we talk a lot about intellectual property. But also in the research space, we've been looking a lot at how do we commercialize the research that we do, especially for institutions such as yourself and some academic institutions that are looking at becoming self-sustainable, and they use research as part of their commercialization strategy. Just take us through how you interface with the work that is done, for example, by a campus such as the one on the Tropical and Subtropical Crops Campus.
Thank you, Lukona. So we, as a division, would normally wait up until we get to a point where there's a new technology that needs to be protected. So there are internal processes that would follow to ensure that the R&D outputs or the research that came out of the particular project is actually protected. There are different forms of intellectual property wherein this technology can be protected. It could be in a form of a patent, it could be a design, it could be a trademark, it could be a variety, which is normally known as the plant breeder's rights. We also have know-how as an organization that we also look into. So these R&D outputs will then now be protected. I'll just use an example of plant breeder's rights, which is variety. And I would also look into saying which commercialization strategy are we using as an organization. Currently, as an organization, we are using the licensing of technology to the other party. So that's what currently we are using as a method of commercializing what we have as an organization. Then these technologies are also advertised to ensure that the public knows, or the smallholder farmers or the commercial farmers knows, that the AFC has a particular technology. So we'll be looking into parties that are interested to take up the technology or the variety to commercialize on behalf of the ARC. Then there's a process that would follow then to say, how do we talk about the contractor in that context? But we look out to say we want parties that are interested to tap into these varieties or these new technologies that are developed by the ARC, since the technologies have a competitive edge in terms of what is out there. So we look out for such.
And let's just talk a little bit. Who are those interested parties that you would most likely at the top of your head reach out to, or you would expect that they reach out to you and keep plugged in to watch the latest release from your space as the ARC?
We look out for our smallholder farmers, our commercial farmers, that are currently in the space, and for those that also need to come into the space of commercialization, would consider them also based on different terms, because there would be the new entrances. We have such arrangement that we can make with new entrances, those that are already in the space and those that also need assistance in terms of moving from one phase to the other.
And then, of course, I'm also interested in how do you define technologies? I know that this word has become much more than just, you know, hardware that we see and can touch. At times, it really has to do, you spoke about know-how. At the ARC, when you talk about technologies that are available for people to take up and commercialize, what is the spectrum you are looking at?
Okay, at the ARC, we are talking about patents. We have few patents within the ARC. We have trademarks and designs, but the organization is currently predominated by PBR or the varieties. We have different forms of varieties. Our office looks into the varieties that is coming from different campuses, not only ITSC. The varieties that are developed within the organization, they have different attributes. They have different trends that are needed in the market. For an example, we have the citrus, the lemons that are seedless. We have developed the climate smart apples. So those are some of the things that are making our technology more competitive out there. So when we talk about varieties, we are looking throughout all the campuses within the ARC. We have horticulture, we have forage, we have we also have like citrus, we have many. So those are some of the things that we are saying we have as the AFC, and we are looking for parties that are interested to can go out there, commercialize on behalf of the ARC while they are also benefiting financially, because then we'll have a contractual agreement when it comes to how they are going to benefit in terms of royalties when they commercialize on behalf of the ARC.
So now when you're saying how they'd benefit on royalties, is that because there would be something that financially accrues to them as well for having helped to commercialize part of your technologies?
Yes, they will also benefit when it comes to royalties, because they will be commercializing on behalf of ARC. So in terms of their investment when they do the commercialization, because it's a process that takes place, so they will also have a certain percentage in terms of the royalties where they will accrue, and then the ARC will also receive a certain portion, because the ARC is the proprietor of the technology. We own the technology, but we are looking for this particular individual or company that can go out and commercialize this technology on behalf of the ARC.
That's interesting stuff and opportunities in terms of, you know, knock-on effects of what research can actually have. People of Power, I am in conversation with Dr. Yolisa Pakela, Dr. Cynthia Modzi. We are looking at issues around research and patents, but also a focus on the tropical and subtropical crops research campus, looking into things such as citrus, mangoes, avos, bananas. These are really things that we appreciate having on the day-to-day, but hey, they can also be very expensive, especially those evos that look like they went to private school or something like that. Please do dial in on 0861-987-000 if you have any question for my guest. I'll go back to Dr. Pakela and probably now just take us through, Dr. Pakela, you know, in terms of some of the pest and disease management challenges that you are dealing with, because these are serious and significant threats to any farmer, no matter of what scale, but worse off your smallholder farmers who are already operating operations where, if you know, there's an outbreak of a disease, it could actually take away or even lead to the closure of their operations. So what are some of the pest and disease management issues you are dealing with as a campus to ensure that you try and provide as much knowledge to the different sectors involved within the tropical and subtropical crops?
Thanks, Lukang. So when the farmers begin their operations, we usually, I won't say holding their hand, but they always have direct communication with our campus, so that whenever there's something unusual that happens to occur, it is dealt with immediately. So it's important that also farmers in a particular area are work together, because pests and diseases do not they don't work in isolation. If they come, they devastate the different farmers in that area. So it's important for farmers to work together and to be always in direct contact with the ARC, so that whenever there is an issue, it can be dealt with immediately. So the important thing is that we choose cultivars properly. We choose production methods properly. Some farmers, as you can see, they put their operations or their orchards under shade net, or they use different forms of irrigation. All of those methods together, and together with scouting of whatever is happening daily. You cannot leave your orchards unattended for weeks and think that things will go well. You always need to find out, to scout what's going on, what weeds are growing, what insects are there, because some insects are beneficial, some are actually pests. So this it can be done part-time. It has to be a daily procedure to look out for pests and diseases.
In terms of, you know, our research advancement, Dr. Pagela, how well are we doing in starting to be able to understand just, you know, some prevalent challenges that farmers in Province X might generally deal with? And do you have a glossary of those where people can just touch base? Maybe I'm thinking of planting some avo trees, and I'm wondering, what are the typical things that could actually be a challenge for me, and how would I have to remedy those? Are you able to share such glossaries?
Well, we do have that information, even the information on whether you can actually plant your avocados in the Western Cape or not.
Yeah.
So we encourage farmers, when they are when they become interested in planting a particular a crop, we encourage them to start the process with us, so that they can get the background information. It's usually just desktop information, because all that information, from soils to water, to whether the crop will be viable there, and what type of cultivar, we have that information already. So we encourage farmers to get that information first, test their soils, test their water, and then we will provide a list of possible cultivars that can grow there, or possible crops that can grow in that particular area.
And just out of curiosity, I wonder, I've been talking about these different cultivars, how do you bridge the gap? Because some people are in the business of growing for export markets. We may have a very specific taste in some instances, or something that, you know, they are looking for. So how do you ensure that the work you are doing is not just only focused on what is it that can grow and what is possible, but also taking advantage of opening up opportunities for the global market for some of our farmers?
Well, to be honest, with most of the cultivars we grow, we do have those that are specific to our local conditions or like conditions elsewhere. But some of our best performing cultivars, these are global. These are the ones that are for export market.
Yeah.
Particularly because we want to expand the market beyond our own borders. So it's important not to breed wisely for other markets, not just our own. So that's a practice that we that's what we do.
Absolutely. And Dr. Mozi, I wonder, I mean, when you talk about commercialization as well, that aspect, Are you able to, you know, the people whom you're saying, if they help you commercialize some of your products, are you able to look outside of South Africa in regions that may have similar or relatively similar climatic conditions for that commercialization work? Because we've seen this, for example, if you look at the research work that was done in support of Monsanto, for example, by the Rockefeller Foundation, they were able to transport some of their technologies to other jurisdictions, much to them being resistant in some areas.
Yes, I think you look at so in terms of our material that is currently licensed, I would say maybe around almost 50% of what has been licensed is actually licensed or commercialized internationally with international partners. So the material that we have or our varieties, they operate well in different territories, in different countries. I can name the few. We have material in Australia. We have material in USA, in Chile. We have material in Europe. We have material in other parts of African countries. So we are not only focusing to the parties in South Africa, but what we do, we say in South Africa, can we get individuals from or the companies in South Africa to commercialize these companies, they can also commercialize internationally. They can export the material because most of our material that is being commercialized in South Africa, our growers, this material is actually being exported to different countries, mostly Europe. For other different territories, we do have companies there that are also commercializing on behalf of the ARC.
That's an interesting one because it really talks to, I mean, our research being able to have a footprint in the international market. And I'm sure that this is something that you pride yourselves with, isn't it?
Yes, we do. Hence, I mentioned at the beginning that the technologies that comes out of the ARC, they have a competitive edge out there. So what our researchers are bringing out as varieties, they compete with some of the varieties out there. We have varieties that are competing very well, that are top when it comes to other varieties. So we are very proud of what our researchers are bringing in. So it also emphasizes the fact that they are competing with other researchers out there when it comes to new technologies. So we have the competitive edge. They look into trends that are there. So hence we have different varieties. Hence we have the varieties that are also more on nutritional value, the varieties that are bred that looks into different climatic conditions as now we are living in this time and age. So our technologies are very competitive.
Okay. Dr. Pakela, perhaps let me come back to you before we end this conversation. On a lighter note, just to ask, I mean, I don't think I'm a converted. Dr. Motsi at some point spoke about seedless grapes. I still love them with seeds. Am I weird? Are we going to see seeded grapes vanish from the market at some point?
I wouldn't say you're weird, but spitting out the peeps is really weird. So,
sorry, come again?
I'm saying spitting out the peeps.
Oh, yes. Weird. I chew them.
Oh, my God, even worse. But sometimes when we lose some a characteristic, for example, I'll talk about my favorite fruit, lychee.
Yes.
I like lychees with smaller pip because they're easy to peel.
There's
more flesh.
Oh.
So you can do much more with the flesh. You can dry it. You can can it. But if the pip is too big, then the flesh is little.
Okay.
Then it's not much. You feel cheated when you eat that particular lychee.
You actually just bite to the pip itself.
Yes. So the breeding part takes care of different things, but always to enhance either the one property that is wanted the most.
That's very interesting insights. Dr. Pakela and Dr. Motsi, thank you so much for joining me this morning just to take us through your campus, tropical and subtropical crops, and but also just some of the issues around intellectual property management and its commercialization.
Thank you so much, Lucan.
Thank you.
Okay, absolutely. Now, good people, don't chew your peeps like I do from grapes. All right. That's Dr. Yolisa Pagela, Senior Manager, Research, Tropical and Subtropical Crops Campus, and Dr. Cynthia Motsi, Senior Manager, Intellectual Property Management and Commercialization at the Agricultural Research Council.
AgriTalk was brought to you by the Agricultural Research Council. Excellence in research and development.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.